We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
So should ICE close the detention facilities? That's what protesters wanted in a protest in downtown Buffalo earlier this afternoon. And the protesters, without a permit, and the Buffalo police opted to not do anything using their discretion. But I think they really need to make sure that the permit laws and policies of the city are enforced. Otherwise, you're going to end up with more and more situations like this. And the way you got to stop these situations is in the bud. I mean, don't let this become established practice where anybody can just have a demonstration anytime they want. I mean, geez, who wouldn't like to protest? But going through the permitting process can be kind of a pain in the butt, but it's one of those necessary evils, and nobody has the right to block without authorization, without clearance, traffic at a place like Delaware and Chippewa in downtown Buffalo. But should ICE accede to what the protesters want and close the detention centers it operates for all of these people who have been sent to the detention centers who really have no legal authority or right to be in the United States to begin with? And do you support ICE? That's the simple question. Do you support the people at ICE? Do you support border enforcement? 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. And if you were inconvenienced by the protesters today and you'd like to give them a message, you've got a message for the protesters or for ICE, knock yourself out. Phone lines are open at 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Boston, and Roy is on the line. Roy, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Sir.
There are six things I would do if I had the power to do them.
Do any of them involve napalm?
Well, that's a good idea.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Well, number one, obviously, I would build the wall. Number two, I would have landmines. Number three, I would have guard towers 200 yards apart with sharpshooters. Number four, I would fill the Rio Grande with alligators. Number five, I would give the illegal aliens 30 days to leave the country. After that, have open season with a bounty on them. And lastly, number six, all politicians who want amnesty and more illegal aliens, I would give them a real taste of ICE. I would deport them to Antarctica, where they would freeze their butt off, and that would negate any brain activity.
Well, I can go with you on point number one, and you know what? The beautiful thing about landmines is you don't really have to plant them. We could say that we planted them, and we could say that something is a landmine zone, and that might actually prove to be a deterrent. I mean, look, I don't want to see people blown up, but I also don't want to see the United States of America go the way of Central or South America. I've been to those places, and they're no place you'd want to live, believe me. I've spent more time in Mexico. I did some calculations. More time in Mexico in my life than I've spent in Canada in my life. I'm not a stranger to rural Mexico. I go outside of the touristy areas, and it's just not a place you'd want to live. Been to Venezuela, not a place you'd want to live, especially now. What's for dinner? Elephant from the zoo.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, we are invaded. And Article 4 of the Constitution says that, you know, each state is guaranteed a Republican form of government, and each state is offered protection from invasion by the government. The government is not doing their job, so someone has to do something.
Well, I mean, you're elevating it to the level of lethality, and you know what? It might actually have come to that, but the thing is, we don't even have, and this is why, I mean, what you're saying is it's kind of rhetorical and it's kind of hypothetical, but we don't even have the courage to deport how the hell would we ever plant landmines? It's not going to happen.
Well, you'd have
to. Sharpshooters are not going to happen. We don't even have the courage to enforce existing laws, it seems.
Well, what's needed is someone to have the temporary power of a dictator to do this. And once the situation is corrected, we can go back to a constitutional government.
Yeah, dictatorships are never temporary. They always end up lasting longer than they're supposed to last. I don't think we need a dictator. I think what we need is some common sense, and what we need is people and politicians with some courage. This problem has got to be solved. It is a solvable problem. And you know what? It might take a little bit of bluffing and a little bit of feinting along the line, like, you know, saying there are landmines in a certain place but not really putting them in a certain place. But it might be a deterrent.
Well, with all the crime these people on these border states are enduring, I would not be surprised if many vigilante committees would be formed for people to protect themselves, because the government is not doing their job.
Well, I think we can agree on that. The government is not doing its job. And, you know, protests basically equating ICE to the SS or the Gestapo are just, they're so incredibly offensive, and they're so incredibly historically inaccurate. I would love to know at which ICE detention center people are being forced to carry large blocks of stone up a hill, the mountain of death, as they had at Mauthausen concentration camp. Concentration camps were often used as a place to put inmates before they were sent off to the death camps for extermination. Extreme forced labor conditions, absolutely no rights, absolutely substandard food, no medical care whatsoever at the concentration camps. These were really grim places. And to suggest that, you know, there are problems at ICE facilities, of course. And why are there problems at ICE facilities? Because nobody was expecting the wave after wave after wave of illegals to flood this country as what is happening. This is a problem they brought on themselves.
No one forced them to come here.
Bingo.
Turn around, go back.
Well, and one of the things that we're going to have to come to terms with, you know, even in this country, we get people from New York State moving to North Carolina, and people from New York State moving to places like Florida and Texas. And what they do, invariably, they bring the politics they were used to, the politics that drove them out of their states of origin, and they try to bring them to the Carolinas, they try to bring them to Florida, they try to bring them to Texas. There is a lot of resentment among native Carolinians, native Texans, and native Floridians against people who come from high-tax states precisely because they are high-tax, and then try to bring the state with they left to where they now live.
Well,
it's insanity.
Well, these people that are leaving and are taking their liberal ideas with them, they're so brainwashed, they don't even realize they are brainwashed.
And well, yeah, and the point I'm trying to get to is, at what point does the United States of America start to resemble Central America or South America?
Well, with more illegal aliens, it'll be the same.
You're going to fundamentally change the culture of the United States of America. This country is going to look more like Nicaragua in 40 years than it looks like the United States we recognize today.
Well, that's part of.
And if that's what people want, God bless them. I'll be dead.
Infiltrated the Democratic Party, and they have a program that's called the Inside Outside Program, and they've been working at this for several generations. And you have four groups that have infiltrated.
Right. I got to get to some other calls. I'm glad you called in. We'll talk about the infiltration of America at some other point. Let's go to, and I'm not saying the guy's wrong. I just got to get to some other folks. Here is Bob in Cheektowaga. You're on WBEN. Roberto.
Hi, Tom. I have a different take on this. I blame the media for the problems that are being caused. They're the racists. They're the ones that are dividing the country. They're the ones that want everybody against each other. And I blame the local media for it because they're not stepping up to the plate. I go back to the race riots in this town. Is that what we want again? Do we want race riots? It's not. Why didn't we?
I guess I wasn't really ready for this particular complaint about the media. Could you elaborate a little bit on what you're trying to get across? Because I agree that the media plays a role in what is happening in America, but the way I see it, the media plays a role because it is so incredibly biased one way and against the other way. Most media in this country and probably most media in this town would be marching with the protesters.
That's exactly right. And then when this stuff happens, Who's to blame for it? Who's to blame for it? I don't want this stuff to go on in my town. I've been through this once before. I don't want to see ruin this town like this. It's time for the local media to step up to the plate and say, look it, this is wrong. We have to start bringing everybody together. We can't be biased.
Yeah, I mean, well, media bias is an epidemic in the United States, but, I mean, keep in mind, whether or not I disagree or you disagree with the opinions being expressed by the demonstrators today, just like you, they have every bit of the right to protest peaceably for what they want. Now, they should have gotten a permit, and I would have stopped the demonstration based on that alone, and they never should have blocked the intersection, and they needed to listen to what the police said. So they were not a peaceable group by strict definition. They violated laws.
Do you think that they're going to stop this?
No, I think it's going to escalate.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's my point. It's time for the media to step up. Somebody in this town and one of these local stations got to step up and say, look it, we can't allow this to destroy our town.
Yeah, but, I mean, the media, as far as I can tell from my little viewpoint here in the studio, is the media is reporting on what happened, but I don't know that they're encouraging it or, trying to make these people heroes. They're just telling you what happened. I mean, I'm telling you what happened. Am I fanning the flames?
No, but look at the coverage. Look at the coverage that we get. We get 90% hateful Trump. And that 10% that he did good. Why couldn't they have the parade on TV? Why couldn't they have the parade on July 4th? If that was Obama, they'd be bending over backwards for this guy. That's what I'm saying. They're the racists in this town.
Well, again, I think you got to bifurcate between media bias and support. And clearly, the media are biased. I don't think anybody with half a brain is going to disagree that there is a profound epidemic of Trump hatred and right-wing hatred in the American media. It goes without saying. And it's gotten worse. Thank you, by the way. It's gotten worse with the internet because people have so much control over the information that is out there. I talked earlier about the Holocaust survivors who expressed outrage at comparing ICE facilities to Nazi concentration camps. And now you can't easily find those articles that appeared back then. Instead, if you do a search for Jews and ICE and concentration camps, you're going to get the belief that every survivor of the Holocaust who's still alive believes that, yes, this is correct. ICE facilities really are like concentration camps, and there's very little from the other side. It's really remarkable how the internet can be scrubbed when you want it to be scrubbed. So protesters today on the warpath against ICE and the detention facilities, should ICE be abolished? Should the detention centers be abolished, closed and abolished, and let's just let everybody out of the detention centers? Is that the way we need to do things? Now, see, I agree with the protesters. I think the detention centers should be closed, but I would deport the people inside of them. Not that they're not perfectly wonderful people, but they're lawbreakers, and they don't need to be in the United States because they don't have a legal right to be in the United States. And something that they also need to do is seriously overform the language of immigration. Okay, we shouldn't be locked into... Oh, what would the word be? We shouldn't be locked into narrow categories. We shouldn't let our verbiage control our policies. Let's go to some more calls. It is Kathy in South Buffalo on WBEN. Kathy.
Hi. The protesters, first question, how many of them were American citizens? Were there any that undocumented?
I have no reason to believe that any of the protesters were illegal immigrants. There may have been, but I've got no reason to believe that.
Okay, and no other country in the entire world would put up with people just showing up and deciding they're going to live there.
Well, actually, some of the European countries ran into a major problem with that, and other countries like Hungary, for example, got smart.
And they would have armed troops at their borders. And no other group of immigrants, Polish, Hungarian, French, whatever they were, no other group of people just decided, I'm going to America, whether they like it or not, I'm going to go there and live. Nobody else has done this.
Now, yeah, the operative phrase in what you just said was whether they like it or not. We've had waves of immigration to this country, as you well know, but by and large, it has been legal immigration, and people have followed the right paperwork. And also, immigration is a lot different now than it was back at the turn of the centuries because our economy is a lot different now than it was back then.
I know, but they did not just show up in a boat on our Jersey Shore or the New York Harbor.
No, typically they absolutely did not.
Well, how do these people get the cojones to do this?
I think it's part of the wave of entitlement, and I think part of it is fostered by the left in America that stands behind these people.
Who paid for all of this water and transport? Do you know how much it costs to rent one of those big semis? A lot of money. Who put the money out? Who paid for all that water?
Well, one of the culprits may be the Catholic Church. Michael Savage mentioned that the other night in his show.
The people were walking around, and when it showed them all of these migrants, they had clean shirts. They had their hair combed. The kids looked fine. People were handing them water. Somebody fronted the money for this mass immigration thing. And I think the thing that we should do, we're so stupid in this country. Why don't we have massive transport trucks to put them? Where are you from?
Hold on. I got to put you on hold because I'm out of time for this segment, but we'll get to you right after the news at 5:30. Hey, the way, you know what? Call me cynical and call me very jaded at this point in my life. At this point in my life, it would not surprise me at all if elements of the deep state were funding this illegal migration of people from Central and South America and elsewhere coming through those venues into the United States. There is not one doubt in my mind. There is a deep state. There is a shadow government. And you know what? The more government people I talk to in the alphabet soup agencies and people who've been in our military in intelligence-related positions, the more I am absolutely convinced that there is the government that exists, but there's also the government that we don't hear about that exists. And I will tell you, and you might not want to hear this, but I would take an oath on the Bible, I would say on the souls of my children, every single person I have been speaking with from the alphabet soup agencies, and these are active duty federal agents, okay? These are friends of mine. These are people I hang out with and I know. And every single one of them says, there is a civil war going on within the agencies of our government between the leftists and the Trump alliance. It's real. It's happening. So nothing would surprise me.
The dynamic duo is back.
The hardest working tools.
It's Bowerly and Bellavia on WBEN.
Kennedy has gone through the entire music library of every recording made since Edison invented the wax cylinder and has found every single song relating to ice that has ever been recorded. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. David is off. He's doing Medal of Honor stuff. He's out in California right now, as a matter of fact. Don't know when Mr. Bellavia is going to return to duty here, and don't know what David is going to decide to do. And, you know, I've periodically, I mention this, and I just want to mention it really briefly right now, and that is, you know, David is under just an enormous amount of stress. His entire life has changed. He has, on multiple occasions, told me that all he really wants is he wants his life to get back to normal, and he wants to get back to doing this radio show with me. Now, that being said, there's going to be a lot of other opportunities that present themselves to David Bellavia. So it really is going to be up to him and what he wants to do. We're going to go to the White House right now, and President Trump.
Proudly declare I am a citizen of the United States. Now they're trying to erase the very existence of a very important word and a very important thing, citizenship. They're even coming after the Pledge of Allegiance in Minnesota. I'm proud to be a citizen. You're proud to be a citizen. The only people who are not proud to be citizens are the ones who are fighting us all the way about the word citizen. Today, I'm here to say we are not backing down on our effort to determine the citizenship status of the United States population. I stand before you to outline new steps my administration is taking to ensure that citizenship is counted so that we know how many citizens we have in the United States. Make sense?
President Trump.
We will defend the right of the American people to know the full facts about the population, size of citizens and non-citizens in America. It is essential that we have a clear breakdown of the number of citizens and non-citizens that make up the U.S. populations. Imperative. Knowing this information is vital to formulating sound public policy, whether the issue is health care, education, civil rights, or immigration. We must have a reliable count of how many citizens, non-citizens, and illegal aliens are in our country. The Department of Commerce sensibly decided to include a citizenship question in the 2020 census, as has been done many, many times throughout the history of the United States. Unfortunately, this effort was delayed by meritless litigation. As shocking as it may be, far-left Democrats in our country are determined to conceal the number of illegal aliens in our midst. They probably know the number is far greater, much higher than anyone would have ever believed before. Maybe that's why they fight so hard. This is part of a broader left-wing effort to erode the rights of the American citizen and is very unfair to our country. The Supreme Court ultimately affirmed our right to ask the citizenship question, and very strongly it was affirmed. But the Supreme Court also ruled that we must provide further explanation that would have produced even more litigation and considerable time delays. The case is already in three federal district courts that have been, to be totally honest, extremely unfriendly to us. These delays would have prevented us from completing the census on time. It's deeply regrettable, but it will not stop us from collecting the needed information, and I think even in greater detail and more accurately. Therefore, we are pursuing a new option to ensure a complete and timely count of the non-citizen population. Today, I will be issuing an executive order to put this very plan into effect immediately. I am hereby ordering every department and agency in the federal government to provide the Department of Commerce with all requested records regarding the number of citizens and non-citizens in our country. They must furnish all legally accessible records in their possession immediately. We will utilize these vast federal databases to gain a full, complete, and accurate count of the non-citizen population, including databases maintained by the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration. We have great knowledge in many of our agencies. We will leave no stone unturned. The Census Bureau projected that using previously available records, it could determine citizenship for 90% of our population or more. With today's executive order, which eliminates longstanding obstacles to data sharing, we're aiming to count everyone. Ultimately, this will allow us to have an even more complete count of citizens than through asking the single question alone. It will be, we think, far more accurate. The Census Bureau can use this information, along with information collected through the questionnaire, to create the official census. In other words, as a result of today's executive order, we will be able to ensure the 2020 census generates an accurate count of how many citizens, non-citizens, and illegal aliens are in the United States of America. Not too much to ask. This will greatly inform a wide array of public policy decisions. This information is also relevant to administering our elections. Some states may want to draw state and local legislative districts based upon the voter-eligible population. Indeed, the same day the Supreme Court handed down the census decision, it also said it would not review certain types of districting decisions, which could encourage states to make such decisions based on voter eligibility. With today's order, we will collect all of the information we need to conduct an accurate census, and to make responsible decisions about public policy, voting rights, and representation in Congress. In everything we do, we will faithfully represent the people of the United States of America. I would like now to introduce Attorney General Bill Barr to the podium. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
President Trump using an executive order to put the citizenship question on the census.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President. And congratulations on today's executive order, which will ensure that we finally have an accurate understanding of how many citizens and non-citizens live in our country. As the Supreme Court recognized, it would be perfectly lawful for the federal government to ask on the census whether individuals are citizens of the United States. And it's entirely reasonable to want to know how many citizens and non-citizens there are in the United States. In fact, the federal government has routinely asked questions relating to citizenship ever since the 1820s. But while the Supreme Court correctly recognized that it would be entirely appropriate to include citizenship questions on the census, it nevertheless held that the Commerce Department did not adequately explain its decisions for doing so on the 2020 census. Because, as the Supreme Court recognized, the defect in the Commerce Department's decision was curable with a better record, the President asked me to work with Secretary Ross to determine whether there remained a viable path for including a citizenship question on the census. I did so. In my view, the government has ample justification to inquire about citizenship status on the census and could plainly provide rationales for doing so that would satisfy the Supreme Court. And therefore, there is no question that a new decision to add the question would ultimately survive legal review. The problem is that any new decision would be subject to immediate challenge as a new claim in the three ongoing district court cases. In addition, there are injunctions currently in place that forbid adding the question. There is simply no way to litigate these issues and obtain relief from the current injunctions in time to implement any new decision without jeopardizing our ability to carry out the census, which we're not going to do. We're not going to jeopardize our ability to carry out the census. So as a practical matter, the Supreme Court's decision closed all paths to adding the question to the 2020 census. Put simply, the impediment was not, it was a logistical impediment, not a legal one. We simply cannot complete the litigation in time to carry out the census. One other point on this. Some in the media have been suggesting, in the hysterical mode of the day, that the administration has been planning to add the citizenship question to the census by executive fiat without regard to contrary court orders or what the Supreme Court might say. This has been based on rank speculation and nothing more. As should be obvious, there has never been under this has never been under consideration. We have always accepted that any new decision to add a citizenship question to the census would be subject to judicial review. Turning to today, I applaud the President for recognizing in his executive order that including a question on the census is not the only way to obtain this vital information. The course the President has chosen today will bring unprecedented resources to bear on determining how many citizens and non-citizens are in our country and will yield the best data the government has had on citizenship in many decades. That information will be used for countless purposes, as the President explained in his remarks today. For example, there is a current dispute over whether illegal aliens can be included for apportionment purposes. Depending on the resolution of that dispute, this data may be relevant to those considerations. We will be studying this issue. Congratulations again, Mr. President, on taking this effective action.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Citizenship questions will be on the census in 2020. President Trump, executive order. See if he's going to say anything else. Yep, looks like he's walking away. And the media vultures yelling in the background. And President Trump gives them a wave. All right, it is 5:49 at News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bellavia. Back to home. I mean, obviously the immigration thing is really taken over because of the because of the protest earlier this afternoon in downtown Buffalo. And the protesters want the ICE detention centers closed, and they were encouraging, you know, the ICE agents to quit their jobs. They don't like ICE. And that leads me to believe that what they really want is open borders into the United States, which begs the question, how many people exactly is the United States expected to absorb? How many people could we possibly absorb? It's like they want all of Central and South America in the United States. And then I ask you, are we still the United States? Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Is it New York City? This is Gary. You're on. Hello.
How you doing there, Tom?
Living the dream, baby. Living the dream.
I'm living the dream, too. I'm leaving the United States. I'm a 30-year-plus retired combat veteran and had enough. My wife and I are going overseas to work for the U.S. government. There's a couple of problems with this. This immigration thing isn't new. I was stationed in the late 70s in California. And in California, they had a huge immigration problem. And INS back then offered $25 for each illegal that you caught, because there was a checkpoint at the border and there was one 15 miles up between San Diego and L.A. And a friend of mine had an extended van. We made $5,000 a weekend for 2 years. All right. And, you know, I mean, that's what you're going to have to do. We did invite these people over. You know, they're better off than they were, because God knows what they had where they lived. But, you know, they were poor. They're not going to amount to a whole lot. They'll probably end up on assistance. I lived in Texas also, and my whole block was loaded with illegals. I lived in Arizona. I used to fly over the border and tell the INS people where the dead bodies were, because they would come in over the night, and it's 100 miles to the next big town, and most of them would die trying to get there.
Right.
So, you know, I don't get it. I mean, it's just...
There's no doubt. Nobody is arguing that it is an old problem. The question is, what do we do about it now? I mean, and at this point, you know, the article I read before from Richard Lamb, the former governor of California, he saw all this stuff coming with the waves after waves after waves of illegals.
I'm sitting here in LAX. I had a 10-hour layover. I rented a car to go get something to eat. And there are illegals every corner, all over the place. I don't get it. When I was in Texas, I would go from my house. I worked in the medical field for forever. And I used to have to take a back road, and there would be 300 illegals waiting to get picked up for work.
Yeah. I believe it. All right, man, I got to go. I'm out of time. Thank you very much for your service to the country and your continuing service to the country in some other capacity overseas. What country, by the way, are you at liberty to say?
I'm going to New Zealand. And then
my
wife and I are going to end up in Spain. We're going to be there a year. We're going to eventually live in Austria, where they really regulate the illegals.
Wow. All right. Thanks. Thanks very much for the call, and enjoy the next journey in your life. And you should be able to listen to us online. I think you are with radio.com, but don't think I've ever been. I've never been to New Zealand, never been to Australia, never been to that part of the world. Would like to maybe someday. It's a long flight, though. Holy cow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.